Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. If you're an adult age 21 and older and use nicotine or tobacco, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. What are they made of? Cured edible green leaves, food-grade ingredients, and pharmaceutical-grade nicotine. No tobacco leaf or stem. So if you're 21 and older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online, and they ship directly to most states. Or check out their store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative. Bold flavor, full pouches.
The volume.
The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here. And DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. North Carolina listeners, don't forget DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code JOHN, J-O-H-N. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code JOHN. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What is up, my people? How are we doing? John Middlecoff, that'd be me, Three and Out Podcast, that'd be the show. And we usually sometimes do a Go Low podcast this day, but so much stuff happened at the owners' meetings. From Christmas Day games to Friday night game to Peacocks to Amazon to kickoff rule change. I was like, you know, we gotta ride the wave while it's the waves are coming. So today's going to be a football podcast, obviously touching all that stuff I just listed. Robert Kraft said some stuff. Brian Daboll said some stuff. Sean Payton definitely does not regret cutting Russell Wilson. That's for damn sure. So we will dive into some football today as well as a mailbag. At John Middlecoff is the Middlecoff mailbag. DMs wide open, fire in them. And other than that, the game plan is going to be, I think I'm going to do a golf podcast tomorrow for Thursday. Obviously, the tournament will start. I'll put out my bets. I've been hot on social media. I'm probably not going to like break down the tournament, but just a couple things I want to hit on. And then, obviously, a Friday football podcast for the people. Other than that, I guess we got Easter right around the corner. Hopefully everyone's having a good week, and let's talk some football. But first, grab that smartphone. Very easy to do. Grab that smartphone, download a little app called Game Time. When you download the Game Time app, use the promo code JOHN, first pair of tickets. You want to go to a game. I think baseball opening day is right around the corner. You want to go to a baseball game this spring, this summer? You want to go to a concert? I've already looked. You know, I need to get out of the house. I've just been working nonstop, need to do something, looking at some concerts online, something maybe even in a different state. Just mix up your mojo, mix up, get on a little bird, go somewhere. Going to use Game Time. Download the Game Time app, promo code John. Save yourself $20, your first pair of tickets. Very, very easy to use. Just don't forget that promo code. I appreciate everyone that's used it. Keep hammering it. If you've already used it, have your wife, your girlfriend, your father, your mother, have them use it. And promo code John, baby. I think the NFL, I've been saying this for a while, is easily the best league at adapting the quickest. Doesn't mean it always works, but they try things and they are unafraid to immediately pivot. And we see this constantly with rule changes. Now, sometimes it fails, sometimes it works. Remember the pass interference debacle when it came to challenging? That obviously didn't work. But we have seen a lot of positives when it comes to replay review, rules, player safety. Obviously, you know, we can nitpick all we want about the soft calls when it comes to quarterbacks. No one wants Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. No one wants any of these guys to get injured. Their business model is very predicated on their star quarterbacks playing. But over the last couple of years, because the way the calendar fell, right, Christmas had been on the weekend. So it was a pretty easy one on a Saturday, Sunday, or Monday for the NFL to get involved with that day, right? So they just threw games on Christmas Day. And I think a lot of people started talking whether they would continue to do it, because I didn't write it down. I was like, is it on Tuesday? It's on a Wednesday this year. So in 2024, Christmas is on a Wednesday. And after the success of the television ratings this last year, people are like, are they going to stop? And anyone that's successful in business, when there's an opportunity there in terms of gaining market share, in terms of gaining revenue, in terms of hurting your competition, you double the fuck down. And that's what the NFL is doing. They are placing two games on Christmas Day that it lies on a Wednesday this season. And I think forevermore, the NFL will play games on Christmas, which used to be the NBA's turf. They'd have five games starting bright and early till the night. They now are an afterthought. And the NFL realizes it, and they're trying to put the nail in the coffin and take over that day, which they already have the last couple years. But they're not giving the real estate back. They plan on owning that. If you ask me, I would have put three games on Christmas. I get it. The Wednesday, it's a little complicated. They will still play on Thursday, on Friday, on Saturday, and on Sunday, and then on Monday. So it's not like they're not playing. Maybe they're not playing on that Saturday because of the quarterfinals. I think Field Yates wrote it because of the new college football playoffs. But this is the least shocking development of anything to come out of the owners' meetings. It really is. Because the NFL has proven now, I've been saying this forever, you can complain all you want about ticket prices, about in-game experience. They don't care. They make their money off you sitting on your couch and watching the game. And let's face it, some of my Jewish brothers and sisters, maybe you're not celebrating Christmas. A large percentage of America, and even if you are Jewish, it's not like you're working, you're at home on Christmas Day. That's why the NBA had a built-in ratings increase on that day in the history of my life, because everyone's at home. And then the NFL said, not so fast, my friend. We're coming, and we're not planning on leaving ever. So I'm glad, as someone who wants to watch football on that day, as someone who loves to consume football, we all win. And I was thinking about this. The NFL is, Maria last night, we were in bed, kind of up late. It's like 11, 1130, and she ordered some pants on Amazon. And when we got up this morning at 6:45 a.m., the box was in front of our door. They delivered a pair of pants in 6 or 7 hours. The reason Amazon is arguably the number one company in the world, we can debate revenue, NVIDIA, all the shit, but they treat their consumers better easily than any company I've ever dealt with. You ever have a problem? You just send it back. literally type in anything that you want to find. It's always cheaper on Amazon. And then you press a button and it's literally there within 12, 8, 24 hours max. Obviously, some things take a little bit longer, but they're so consumer friendly. And forever, that was Bezos' entire thing. I care about the consumer. I will do whatever to make them happy. And the NFL, I would say, obviously does some things to piss us off. Some of the rules, some of the officials, right? Which you can't control human beings, but they're pretty piss poor. But in terms of supplying us with inventory, supplying us with things to watch for 4.5 months a year, they've been great. they really have. Everyone talks shit about Thursday Night Football forever. And then you realize when Thursday Night Football is done at the end of the year, you're like, I kind of miss it. I don't want to watch a college game on Thursday anymore. This is National Football League's night. And I think we're going to be saying that in 10 years. Christmas is the NFL's day. You could argue we're already saying that because based on the ratings, it already officially is their day. The other thing they did, which I understand, listen, I live in America, so I can't speak to, the German football market or the UK football market, or they used to go to Japan. I get why they do that, right? You want to expand always in terms of more fans worldwide. This is a domestic game. One pet peeve of mine has always been, and I get why they say it, right? Because I don't even think they think about what they're saying. Like, we're world champs. You're not world champs, you're Super Bowl champs. Like, the world does not play this game. We do, right? If you want to say, hey, I win the Masters, I'm the best golfer in the world, right? Or even if I win the NBA, the best players internationally play in the NBA or hockey. You could argue, say, world champs. Baseball's played all over the place. Clearly, the best players play here. But in football, like, there's no league going on in Russia, right? They're not playing football in China, right? People that maybe they are, but obviously, we're not competing with the rest of the world. It's always a pet peeve of mine. And people say it all the time. I think even Jason Kelce, at his retirement speech, said it was an honor to be a world champ. No, you're a Super Bowl champ, which is an incredible honor, but neither here nor there. The NFL obviously opens up Thursday night every single year. The Chiefs will do it this year. Wouldn't shock me if it's Chiefs, maybe with Harbaugh or Sean Payton, be a pretty easy one. But then on Friday night, they're going an international game in Brazil with the Philadelphia Eagles. And that game's not going to be on Fox. It's not going to be on CBS or NBC. It's going to be streamed on Peacock. The NFL realizes, and whenever I see Roger Goodell, that he doesn't think a Super Bowl is going to be streamed in his lifetime, I think we underestimate how things change, how quickly society is moving at this current pace when it comes to technology. Think of what the phone has accomplished in the last decade in terms of the user ability of what a cell phone was. It's 2024, so a decade ago was 2014. Think how much things changed over that period of time. How much do you think things are going to change from 2024 to 2034? It's going to change at an exponential rate because we're already this far. Think how the power of YouTube over the last 3 or 4 years, the cord cutting, the death of legacy media, but where we're at now, and the growth of podcasts, right? How many more people, which is still a smaller percentage, but over the next 5 years relative to radio? I said forever, I knew I was onto something in podcasting, why I went all in and never crossed my mind to go back in radio in 2016, because everyone streamed from their phone. And all the cars, the moment you get into a car, now we have almost 15 years worth of cars, you hop in the car, what do? You don't search 102.5 or 95.6, you connect your phone to the Bluetooth and you listen to whatever you're listening to. It was like the pa-ping moment, and that was 7-8 years ago. And I was probably behind many people, right? Thinking like that. But that's the power of it all. And the NFL, Brazil, I don't quite understand it. I don't even care. Like, I get why they do this stuff. But streaming on Peacock, like, we saw the success. They streamed a playoff game on Peacock. And they will again this year. It was also reported that Amazon will also have a wild card game as well as Thursday Night Football. So this notion, whenever I see these headlines coming from powerful people, we're not even close to stream a Super Bowl. Bullshit.
Like, I don't believe that at all. If you told me in the next 10 years, is it possible a Super Bowl is streamed, I would say 1,000%. As Chris Mannix, I heard him say, I think he was on The Herd maybe within a week or two ago, maybe he said this on his own podcast, that Jake Paul and Mike Tyson on Netflix will easily be the most watched fight in the history of boxing. And it won't even be close. Simply because accessibility. However, how many people have Netflix? 250, 275 million people in the world? How many people in this country? Well over 100 million people have it. You just press a button. So, I mean, they can put it on their front page. They get 20 million people watching that with their eyes closed. They don't even have to try. They control. Right? When you go to Amazon on Thursday Night Football, it's front and center. It was the same thing with Peacock. So the league, and this is what the other leagues don't have. If you put a first-round playoff series in the NBA on a streaming service, I don't think they would get any more. They would actually get less people watching than they would if it's on broadcast TV. Obviously, in the NFL, if you put, let's just pick a holiday, Thanksgiving or Christmas. One of those games was streamed only. Well, we saw the numbers, 30, 40 million people watched on the holidays. I think if you put it on Peacock or Amazon Prime, you might not do 30 million, but you're doing 24, 25, at least 20 million people. I think if you stream like an NBA or baseball situation, you're not sniffing a million people. So the NFL is no longer worried about the competition of attention from other sports. It's simply focused on the progression of where the world is going. What did you watch last night? Because I know what I did. We streamed Peacock. And before that, a show on Peacock about these ranchers in Missouri. It's like a reality show. It's kind of entertaining. And before that, we watched Love is Blind, which is the stupidest, best show I've ever seen. I don't think I will ever watch it again, though. I got into it early, kind of wanted to bail late, but once you're in, you got to finish it. That was on Netflix. And then she was working late. I watched Full Swing on Netflix. Like, beside a game, a live event, there is nothing I'm watching on regular TV anymore. Nothing. So, and I don't even have cable anymore. My whole life is streamed. Everything, and I know, depending on where you live, the accessibility, internet speeds, that is only going to change and become stronger and stronger. Elon's developing, you know, already developed Starlink. Like, the world is going to change at just crazy rates. And the NFL realizes this, and they're all in. And they're showing you, they can say whatever they want. I say this all the time about any human. I don't give a shit what you say. I don't care about what moral high ground you are, tweeting or Facebook posting. I judge you by your fucking actions. So the NFL can say what they want about the future and the loyalty to the broad. They're showing you where they're going. Because who's going to have the money? Amazon, Netflix, even NBC. For them to survive, and they are taking a bloodbath on the traditional network NBC, it's going to be because of Peacock. And the success of Peacock was, I think, I forget the exact number off the top of my head, but it was like 20 million people watched the playoff game. And I think I saw a headline the other day that 70% of the people that signed up for that playoff game are still users today. So obviously it is very advantageous for these companies to be in bed with the NFL. Separate from the game being played in Brazil, I mean, that's going to be fascinating. But the NFL loves these international games, clearly. I'm sure they can quantify how many extra fans, the international. Obviously, the other thing with streaming, and this is what I realized in radio a while ago. Like, when I did a radio show in the Bay Area, people that listened to me were in the car in the Bay Area. Right? That was the overwhelming base of the people. Now I do a podcast. I get people from Australia, from the UK, that are stationed in Japan, that, you know, live in Italy, Germany, wherever. It doesn't matter. The world, as Kyrie Irving would say, is literally flat when it comes to technology. Well, if I start streaming on Netflix or Amazon, I don't know exactly Amazon's foothold internationally, but Netflix for sure, and I know they're not on Netflix, but it feels inevitable one day that Netflix gets into the football game. Like, why do you think Netflix signed with the WWE? It's not just about New York and Los Angeles and Houston, Texas. Like, If I live in the UK, if I live in Chile, I can fucking watch it. So that is the power of where this world's going. And it's just has never been like that with Fox and CBS and NBC previously. So it's cool to see kind of the maturation and where we're headed. I like this stuff. I find it fascinating because ultimately this is the type of stuff that keeps the health of football going and pays for the league and keeps everyone, you know, moving forward in the league to grow financially, which has to happen for the league to stay on top.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. You know what I remember about my first car? Is that the moment I got it, I wanted to improve it. Because like most 16-year-old kids, you don't exactly get a luxury automobile. So you look at it, you go, well, I need to add some speakers. I need to tint out the windows. I need to make this thing the coolest car possible so I can cruise around town with all my buddies, waving at the babes, and enjoy myself. So my favorite part of car culture when I was young was definitely the subwoofers in the back of the car. And we built the boxes from scratch, had multiple 12-inch subs, and you could hear me coming from a long, long way away. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. Listen, at The Volume, we're always looking for people, and hiring is easy when you have that many quality candidates, and you better believe we use LinkedIn. I just played golf last weekend with a guy who runs an insurance company who said he lives on LinkedIn, and he has never found better employees than through this website. Because LinkedIn knows that small businesses are wearing so many hats and might not have the time or resources. And let's face it, how would you even find these people? Well, they're on LinkedIn. And then LinkedIn constantly finding ways to make everything easier. They even launched a feature that helps you write job descriptions, making the process quicker. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/John. That's linkedin.com/JOHN to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. The other big news today was much more granular football, the kickoff rule. And I forget the exact year they changed the PAT from, like, you know, a 12-yard kick back to a 35-yard kick. And Belichick was, if I remember correctly, was the guy pounding the table for the move. Basically, like, what is the point of something that is almost 100% certainty? Obviously, the occasional blocked PAT or the guy would hit the upright. But for the most part, it was borderline automatic. Borderline automatic. Just move it back. It's not going to go to 50%, but there will be a variable. And looking at the last couple years, there's like a 6.5% chance. So it went from 99 plus to like 93 to 94% in that range that a guy's going to miss. A dude missed a PAT in the Super Bowl. Now, granted, he was a little shaky throughout the year, but you watch the PAT in the regular season, you see it all the time, and you never know when it's going to happen. Now, it's not like it's become some play that you can't miss. Like, if you got a
take a leak and you're watching the game, once they score a touchdown, like, you can get up and go. And then you come back, you're like, where's the other point? And you're like, oh, I missed the field goal. But the kickoff has become very, very boring. It really has. And watching all these special teams coaches talk today, I saw the dude, the Saints coach, who was on with McAfee, saying that of the 13 kickoffs in the Super Bowl, none of them were returned. And 12 of them went out of the end zone. Now, granted, it was a controlled environment. It's indoors. It's not like there's wind pumping in Cleveland or Baltimore. But that's a problem. That takes a play. 13 of the plays during the Super Bowl are just completely irrelevant. And they flipped it. And they changed it to the XFL rule, which I had to brush up on. I'm not some loyal XFL viewer in reading about it. That basically, the kicker lines up at the 35-yard line. The kickers, you know, tackling guys all line up at the other 40-yard line. And then the offensive team, the team receiving the ball, lines up at the 35-yard line. So basically, instead of one team lining up here and running into the kickoff return team, which is scattered throughout the field in very, very high-speed collisions. Anyone listening to this, if you played high school or college football, if you played in the NFL, and you ever were on kickoff return, and you weren't on the front row, I remember in high school, my freshman year, we went to a jamboree with Grant High School. It's where Ontario Smith went to school. They I don't know if they still are. They were really good in the 90s and the 2000s. They put a bunch of D1 dudes. It was a stacked team, and they had some athletes. And I remember the first time I'd ever played padded football, my first action, not like scrimmaging against your own team. And I remember turning around and seeing this dude running so fast. I just remember, I flew. I mean, the guy hit me, I fucking flew back. I always had so much respect, whether it's pros, college, anyone that lined up on that unit. It was a violent play. And especially the guys on the kicking team just barreling down like fucking kamikaze style. And the NFL wants to take that out, and they have for a while. And I thought they were like going to ban kickoffs, right? So this, to me, is a much better outcome than just getting rid of the play. And clearly, when the offense and the defensive blockers and tacklers are lined up 5 yards apart from each other, one's at the 40, one's at the 35, and they are not allowed to move until the returner catches the ball. So these crazy collisions that obviously happen less and less throughout the history of the game today than they had before, because kickers are stronger now kicking off the field, just make it kind of interesting. And seeing a couple clips from the XFL, like, you could put two returners back there, you can do end arounds. I also think this brings into play, in a tighter game, if I'm the 49ers, why don't I put Deebo Samuel back there? If I'm the Tennessee Titans, why don't I put Tony Pollard or Travis Etienne or Saquon Barkley? Or I don't know if Derrick Henry would be great at it, but like put a dynamic, if I'm the Miami Dolphins, you know who I'm putting back there in a big game? Fucking Tyreek Hill. And I consider maybe those are two or three of his touches. Because from the 20-yard line through the goal line, I have to return it. I do not have a choice. I have to return the ball. I think this adds a huge element of just intrigue. This play, especially as people are feeling it out, is a must-watch. I sound like I'm like on Roger Goodell's front office team. I just find, as a fan that gets bored very easy, just in general, I'm pretty intrigued by this. And I like the penal nature of, you kick it out of bounds, it's going to the 40-yard line. So you better not try to get tricky here. You better keep this bad boy in the field of play. I think this play just went from completely irrelevant and honestly getting kind of stupid to fascinating. It really has. And special teams coaches already have a ton of time. They think of crazy things to begin with. I used to work with them in college and the pros. They're a different breed, man. They really are. I think we're going to see some fun shit. We're also going to see some debacles. I mean, we're going to see some disasters. You could argue in a big spot, I said Tyreek Hill or Saquon or Deebo. Why wouldn't I put like Fred Warner or Roquan Smith, one of my best defenders, back there to try to make a tackle? Because it's just an open field tackle. I don't have to worry about him having some crazy collision. It's really more diagnose, shed, make a guy miss, make an open field tackle. I think we're going to see some big name players. I don't mean all the time, but throughout the season, play on this unit. 1,000%. I would actually bet a lot of money right now that we constantly see impact players in closer games, second half, on this unit. Some other stuff going around the National Football League today. Obviously, a lot of coaches talk. I mean, every coach talked the last. I mean, the best thing I saw, without a question, was when a reporter asked Sean Payton if it was a tough decision given the cap hit that the Denver Broncos would take to cut Russell Wilson. He said no. That was it. I really appreciate, and I don't think we get this enough in pro sports. Everyone's so sensitive of like, some people just don't like other people. Yeah, I've been in free agency meetings. I've been around NFL coaches. They talk a lot of shit about players they don't think are any good. Yet they would never say it if you put a mic in front of them. Yet they all think it. And same goes for players. A ton of players hate a ton of coaches. But if you ever interviewed them, they would be, yeah, the guy's good. You know, it's very rare, like when Shady McCoy was crushing Eric Bieniemy. It's very rare. It's easy to crush a coach you don't know. But a coach you played for, coordinator, or head coach, to be critical of them, it rarely happens. And most coaches are just beat around the bush when it comes to players they don't like. So I appreciate this. I really do. It's why going back to Sean Payton talking shit about Nate Hackett to what happened. We need more of this. We need more crazy. Like, this is all entertainment. And I think sometimes coaches can be so cliche-driven and so boring. Like, that's not how they actually think. That's not what they're actually saying when they're sitting with their GM or their coordinators. I want that guy, right? It's what we used to get with Hard Knocks, why I said I was kind of out on Hard Knocks. Because back in the day in Hard Knocks, you kind of got this raw, unfiltered feel for the staff that you just don't get anymore. And that's clearly gone because everyone is like walking on eggshells. Like, I can't offend this guy. Sure you can. I mean, who cares? We're all human beings. Just talk how you talk. And people are not willing to do that, except Sean Payton, who's clearly the throwback of Bill Parcells still in the NFL. Speaking of a guy who's somewhat of a loose cannon, I mean, hell, he admitted it, was Brian Daboll. There was an ESPN.com article that says he acknowledges that he needs to work on his emotions and calm down. John Mara said the same thing. Like, sometimes I would like Daboll to calm down a little bit. There was a moment, actually, I think I said this at the Combine, when I got in an elevator and he walked and he came right, he was looking right at me, walked in, and I was getting ready, like, he's probably going to light into me for what I had said on the podcast that went viral in Giants land, and I know for a fact that they were talking about it in the building and he was asking people, and I was ready. Listen, I said it, so it's like, if he had a problem with it and he wanted to take issue with me, like, part of being fucking part of the business, like, what am I going to do? Even because it's not like I take back anything I said. I was right about everything I said, but he has the right to defend himself or get mad. Like, I would have had no problem with it. He was like, hey, what's up? And obviously there are, I think, two versions of this guy. The version that you get in the, you know, the coaching staff and the way he acts, not even on game day. It's not a sustainable way to operate. It really isn't. There's nothing wrong with, as a head coach, quote unquote, being considered an asshole sometimes. You have to tell people things they don't want to hear. Coaches and players, part of the deal, part of the hierarchy of the way the sport is set up. You're going to be not happy-go-lucky 24/7, 365. There's a ton of pressure. Like, everything is about and comes to you. Like, you're the decision maker. But his emotions, even he acknowledged, are completely out of control too often. And my take is, listen, I've dealt with emotions my entire life. Controlling them, knowing when to harness them, not losing my cool. It's not easy to do. It really isn't. And the only way you can improve on it is when you're in those situations. Like, you can't practice it, I don't believe. You can consciously think about, you know, whether it's taking deep breath or relaxing a little bit. But if your personality oftentimes is your personality, like, that's who you are, right? Dan Campbell, energetic screamer. Right? Bill Belichick, kind of quiet, more cerebral. Andy Reid, Pete Carroll, much more positive, happy-go-lucky guys. You kind of are who you are, especially the older you get. Most human beings, especially successful rich ones, which Brian Daboll is definitely a wealthy one, don't typically change at 50. They can try. I mean, we all try to change and get better. I just think it's a difficult proposition, especially when pressure comes in. And let's face it, they're going to have a ton of pressure. And the other thing is, like, are they any good? I know their defensive line's pretty good on paper. But is their offense any good? They easily lost their most productive player over the last couple of years. They keep saying over and over that Daniel Jones is going to be their starting quarterback. I don't know. I think it's a very, very difficult situation. I know John Mara said they can take a quarterback if they want to take a quarterback. If I'm Brian Daboll, in theory, it makes a lot of sense. But, like, what if I'm not here to coach this quarterback in a year because we win 5 games again? That's a major problem. I'd much rather just have a receiver or Brock Bowers or an impact player who can help me win week one. Robert Kraft was kind of cornered, like a lot of owners, by the local media and discussed the dynasty. And he said that he really liked the first 3 episodes and he wished they would have focused a lot more on, you know, the winning streak and the Super Bowls instead of a lot of the controversial topics. But then if you've watched it, and Mike Florio pointed this out in one of his blogs, that at the end of every episode, it says Kraft Dynasty LLC. Now, no one truly asked him, like, what's his involvement? Was he a producer? Does he own the documentary? But clearly, he was involved financially with this documentary. And I played golf last week with a guy from Boston, and he says all the radio shows are talking about it back there. All of his buddies are talking about it. They all think, like, the word is, and any Patriot fan knows, they use this to try to help get Kraft, like Kraft did this to try to get into the Hall of Fame. So it's like, Robert, you can't act like, yeah, you know, it makes Bill look bad. I wish it would have done this and this. Like, well, what's your involvement? I think the Krafts are in for one of the greatest come-to-Jesus moments in the history of ownership. I've seen it before firsthand. When the 49ers ran Jim Harbaugh out of town, they hired Jim Tom Sula. And they went through one of the worst 2-year stretches in the history of the franchise. They were a joke. It was, and Jed was getting destroyed. Now, I'm not saying Gerard Mayo is Jim Tom Sula. I think he's a high-level guy. I think he's smarter than Jim Tom Sula. But one, the picture did him was not good for him at the owners' meetings. Looked like he wore a t-shirt, didn't even know what was going on. They don't have a GM, even though Elliot Wolf technically is kind of running it. I think Jonathan Kraft clearly is kind of in control. I would short the Patriots hard for the next couple years. I think it's going to be really, really, really ugly. And I think that Kraft, and listen, I don't blame him for getting rid of Bill. Like, things come to an end. You had 2.5 decades worth of kicking ass, making money, winning Super Bowls. And then Brady left and it ended. Welcome to sports. But it just feels something's off. And I think these owners, and everyone's been talking about this around the Patriots, they wanted their team back. They wanted their team back. You know what the best owners do? They let their coaches and personnel people run everything, and they just print the money. They own the team. They sign every check. It's your fucking team. Yeah, okay, now you have a guy who's nice to you, smiles in the hallway. Great. It's about winning and losing. That's all that matters. And last but not least, I saw Dre Greenlaw had one of probably the more famous injuries in the Super Bowl ever because he tore his Achilles running out to the huddle. I don't think we've ever seen that before. The 49ers also had one of their coaches, the DB coach, tear his Achilles on the sideline, celebrating an interception. And I heard this at the Super Bowl, and then I heard this again at the Combine, that the 49ers believe, remember, they were mad about the field. The Chiefs got the Raiders, which Al Davis is still rolling over in his grave, that the Chiefs, while they were winning a Super Bowl and preparing for a Super Bowl, used his facility. But they got an NFL facility, which Andy told me is the nicest thing he's ever seen. And the 49ers got UNLVs, which basically might as well be like a D7 football program right now. And they were complaining that the turf was just not up to standard. They brought in some grass. They didn't feel comfortable. And deep down, they blame Dre Greenlaw's Achilles injury, just like they blame their assistant coach's Achilles injury, on the wear and tear on this weird field. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but they believe that. Here's what I know would be a simple solution. If you're having a Super Bowl and you're going to a place like Vegas or a city that does not have Alabama or Ohio State or like USC, like a legitimate college that's like competing for national championships, that has basically the facilities like an NFL team would have, you have to split the NFL facility. This is what they should have done in Vegas. One team gets it in the morning, the other team gets it in the afternoon. The Raiders literally built the Taj Mahal of practice facilities. And one of the teams had to practice at UNLV. I remember saying this in the Super Bowl, like, I get, why did they set it up like this? So next year in New Orleans, I don't know what Tulane's facilities are, but one of the teams is going to get the Saints. It's usually the NFC team, right? Why don't both teams just split it? So no one has any beef with any of the college setup. Just one team gets it from 8 to 11. The other team gets it from 1 to 4 for four straight days. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Monday, or whatever the day setup would be. Because usually Tuesday's off. It's very easy to avoid. Don't make a team. Yeah, this team's practicing at this D1AA program. Yeah, they had to go to this local high school. Like, what are we doing? That doesn't make any. And I'm not making excuses like maybe it was Achilles was going to tear. But I remember thinking it was stupid that one team had to practice at this way shittier facility when you have all day. Like, they're not holding their meetings there. They go back to the hotel. It's very, very easy. 8 to 11, 1 to 4. That's your allotted time.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. You know what I remember about my first car? Is that the moment I got it, I wanted to improve it. Because like most 16-year-old kids, you don't exactly get a luxury automobile. So you look at it, you go, well, I need to add some speakers. I need to tint out the windows. I need to make this thing the coolest car possible so I can cruise around town with all my buddies, waving at the babes, and enjoy myself. So my favorite part of car culture when I was young was definitely the subwoofers in the back of the car. And we built the boxes from scratch, had multiple 12-inch subs, and you could hear me coming from a long, long way away. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Sometimes it's a struggle between buying what you want over buying what you need. But with the Wells Fargo Active Cash credit card, you can do both. You earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you can earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. Earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like those new golf clubs you've been eyeing, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a divot repair tool for after you've torn up your lawn. Let's try that again. Earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like workout equipment for your home. And then earn 2% cash rewards
on what you need, like a foam roller to soothe your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are. With unlimited 2% cash rewards, the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash. Okay, let's go a little Middlecoff mailbag. Middlecoff mailbag. Fire in those DMs at John Middlecoff. DMs wide open. Easy to get on the show. I didn't do draft daily. I just realized on the podcast. So luckily we end up talking a lot of draft here on the mailbag. Do you think the Chiefs should draft a receiver or draft Snead's replacement? It's a tough one because they have to pay Creed, Trey Smith, Bolton, and McDuffie over the next couple of years. I think they're going to take an offensive lineman. My guess is they take a tackle. It's a really good tackle draft. A lot of tackles are supposed to go between 20 and 45. I think they're primed to take an offensive lineman. So my guess would be I can't see them taking a corner there. I guess you never know. You know, you try to stick with the best player available philosophy. But when you're a team like them, I think they try to circle their favorite tackles that they think are going to be there, and they take the best one who's available. That would be my educated guess. Listen to the pod during my lunch break. I'm a huge Vikings fan and saw the comment where Harbaugh said JJ is the best quarterback in the draft. Do you think there is any chance the Chargers trade Herbert to the Vikings and draft McCarthy? I do not. That's Jim, we hired you to run the show, to be our coach, paid you a lot of money. We're letting you do whatever you want. But trading Herbert is not an option. He also said that he's the best quarterback in the draft, but he also said that Justin Herbert was a huge driving force for the reason that he took the job. So I can't see that happening. No one in their right mind would do that. But Jim's sometimes not in his right mind, so maybe he broached the idea. Do you think there's a chance by design that NFL teams are more roster-centric, whereas the AFC is seemingly more quarterback-centric? The NFC has teams like the Eagles, Niners, Cowboys, and Lions who have loaded rosters. And the AFC has elite quarterbacks, but rosters that aren't as good except for Baltimore. Do the front offices think differently? Well, I would say that most of the star quarterbacks are in that side of the bracket, right? Mahomes, they gave him $450 million. Josh Allen, they gave him $200 million. Lamar Jackson, $200 million. Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow. I mean, all those guys got enormous contracts. So, now Jalen did, and they were hoping Jalen became one of those guys. Let's face it, Jerry Jones thinks Dak's a top 7-8 guy. I think he's probably more like 11-12, but I think they would. All these NFC teams would love to have these quarterbacks. And the 49ers tried to create one with Trey Lance. Turns out he couldn't play. Then they found Brock Purdy. So Jared Goff kind of saved the Lions. I think everyone's on the same page. All 32 GMs agree, like, we would want Mahomes, right? We would choose those guys over the roster. Like, would you start, if I told you right now, would you rather have Mahomes or Josh Allen or just some awesome roster and then figure out the quarterback later? You would take the quarterback. But I think this is where all the variables come in. Eventually, everyone needs to get paid. Like, I saw a headline today, Jared Goff, they're working on a contract extension. Well, what's that number? Is that $35 million a year or is that $50 million a year? So I don't think it's philosophically any different. I just think sometimes those teams found themselves in those spots. Seattle had sweet Russell Wilson 5-6 years ago, and they started sucking, and they got rid of him, and now they got Geno. I think they got a decent roster. But it's just, how do you get one of those guys? John, just wanted to send this over. Listen to you talk about Marv. I think he's talking about Harrison Jr. not running the 40. I know this isn't the 40, but he was one of the 5 fastest players in college football, and he clocked over 21 miles an hour more than once. He's definitely not a 4-5 guy. Here's what he sent me. College football's fastest players. most appearances at 21 miles an hour or over. Trey Benson, running back Florida State, 3 times. I think he ran the 4.3s. Dylan Edwards, Colorado, 2 times. Marvin Harrison, Ohio State, 2 times. Troy Franklin, 2 times. Xavier Worthy, fastest guy at combine history. I didn't say he was slow, but maybe he is. Some guys play faster with the ball in their hands than they do running a 40. Maybe he's just not confident running a 40. Maybe it's just simple. And I was texting with someone that, you know, knows, works in the league, that just said that Marvin kind of does whatever his dad's telling him to do right now. So maybe it has nothing to do with, like, he's scared to test. It's like his dad's telling him not to do that, and he's just doing what his pops is telling him. And as me and Colin talked the other day, his pops is kind of a different bird. So I don't know. I don't think, I'm not trying to talk shit about Marvin Harrison. I think he's a really excellent top 10 level prospect. But I also don't think he is, when I think top 5 wide receivers, you know, I think Calvin Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, and Julio Jones. And I wouldn't put him in that class. And part of it, I just think those guys are on a different level. You know, Ja'Marr Chase coming out, I don't know if I even thought he was going to be as good as he became. Ironically, the best receiver of them all is probably the guy that was drafted 22 in Justin Jefferson. So I think he'll be fine. Marvin Harrison's going to be good. Do you think Justin Herbert will win a Super Bowl in his career? Well, I think it comes down to Harbaugh. And as someone who has rooted for Jim Harbaugh since Stanford, I didn't know if he was ever going to pull it off. And when I was on my couch during that Rose Bowl, I thought, this is the most classic Harbaugh game ever. He is about to lose to Saban, who probably has his worst team of all his playoff teams. And Jalen Milroe, that's who he's going to lose to. And that moment changed his career forever. It wasn't the national championship game. Washington could never beat Michigan, it turns out. Michigan was on a completely different level. Jim Harbaugh's career changed for me in that Alabama game. And now I view him as a champion. Like, I'm not going to lie, I thought there was a chance, like, you know, maybe he's just never going to win the big game. And when he beat Nick Saban, I'm like, maybe it's different. So, yeah, I mean, I think Jim Harbaugh could easily win a Super Bowl in the next 5 years. His team's not going to be good enough this year. Obviously, they had to trade guys, moving guys around. But I think in the next couple of years, I think he's going to have a chance. He's proven to be that good of a coach. And if they draft and sign the right players, look at Andy Reid. They draft and sign the right players. He's an elite coach, and he's winning Super Bowls. Like, I think Jim Harbaugh's... I'd take Jim over John. And John's damn good. Is that crazy? Would you take Jim over John? I would, actually. I would take... I think most GMs, not factoring in, like, John's probably a little easier to work with. I just think Jim's a better coach. And John's, I mean, we're splitting hairs. I mean, it's not like one's number one and one's number 10. I mean, these are two pretty high-level guys. Even though, ironically, you'd be like, well, Jim got beat by John in the Super Bowl. Like, yeah, true. With the new hip drop tackle rule and general offensive-leaning policies the NFL has implemented over the years, would it be crazy to allow 12 players on defense? If defenses were allowed one extra DB, you would be able to double team 2 skill position players as opposed to 1. I think this would naturally close up the middle of the field and force quarterbacks to think twice about it, without reintroducing the violence hits that would occur over the middle. Here's the problem. The league and the television networks want offense. They want touchdowns. They don't want Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase or whoever to be irrelevant all game, all the time. Because if I had an extra DB, I would literally just cover you with 2 corners like you do on punt team, where you just put 2 guys over the gunner. It's hard. And that guy's just trying to make a tackle. This guy's trying to run routes. So the league would never allow that simply because they want offense. For the mailbox, if I'm a Cowboy or Dolphins fan, I'm out on Dak and Tua. Both of their contract extensions can cripple the teams going forward. Both have a deer-in-the-headlights look on them in the playoffs. And we've seen enough to know they don't have it. Very productive against mediocre or bad teams, but honestly can't say they are worth a bunch of wins as individuals. Do you think their team should let them hit free agency after next season?
Dak is dramatically better than Tua, I think. And you can tell me any stat you want. If I had to play a season, I would take Dak without hesitation over Tua Tagovailoa. I hate sometimes, you know, one thing I am trying, not that I care that much, but I respect how hard it is to play in the NFL. I am much more comfortable talking shit about a GM or a head or a coach, assistant coach, a coordinator, because that job is much, much easier to obtain than it is to become a starting quarterback in the NFL. What Tua has accomplished at Alabama, top five pick, even in the NFL, he's on a small list of human beings. But once you get to that position, we judge you based on the other human beings that are doing that. So, like, I've never heard one negative thing about Tua. Same thing with Dak. Like, these are super high character guys. It's easy to rip a player when he's just a fucking turd. Not the case with these guys. But ultimately, like, we're playing to compete for a Super Bowl here, and in December and January, Dak's blown it in the playoffs two of the last 3 years. There's no disputing that. I mean, the defense was so atrocious, but Dak was bad. I just don't think, like, I do believe, like, Dak could get hot for a couple games. I don't think Tua is capable, especially if they weren't the number one seed and they ever have to go on the road, of winning a big playoff game. I don't think it's possible. I think he's much closer to being mediocre than he is to the high-end guys. I actually don't think it's even close with him and Dak. If all things are neutral, all the coaches are neutral, I think Dak is a far superior player. And I just, under no circumstances, from a business standpoint, could I give Tua a large extension. Would I give him like 2 years, $40 million? Yeah. And his agent would be like, hang up the phone. Well, fine. Let someone pay you. Dak, I think you're in a tough position. I think you're in a tough position. I probably, you know, it's easy to say let him walk. I think realistically, you just extend him, get it down, and just hope that he can get hot 1 year like Eli or Flacco. I don't think Tua has that in the bag. I really don't. Again, good guy. Would not want him as my quarterback at all. Honestly, I've been impressed with just, I was not a fan of him coming out. Is Trevor Lawrence the most overrated player in the NFL? I feel like a lot of the sentiment around him still comes from his play in high school and at Clemson. He had plenty of talent, weak division, and has still struggled. I don't think, to be overrated, people have to view you as good. And I don't think if you just pull a lot of people, they view him as some high-end player now. I think most people are just viewing him as like, something's off. I think if you just pulled the average like scout or assistant coach in the NFL, they would just be like, yeah, that's weird. Something's off there. He does not look good. Whether it's injuries, whether it's average play. But I don't think most people would be like, oh, high-end player, future all-pro. I don't think you would find anyone saying that. I would say he's a guy that's pretty consensus. Fans, people in the league, probably some players. Like, yeah, I don't see it. And it might turn out that he's just not good. I don't really know what to think. I do know this is a massive year. I would say make or break. If he has another season like he just had, I don't think he's with the Jags after this year. I think I said this on the podcast yesterday. The NFL waits for nobody anymore. That entire draft beside him is on other teams. Zach Wilson technically still on the Jets. Like, give me a break. I don't care what Woody Johnson's like. If we can't find a trade, he'll be here. No, he won't, Woody. But Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Mac Jones, ironically with Trevor Lawrence. I think if Trevor Lawrence does not get them to the playoffs and does not play well, he is gone. Is it possible the NFL is doing four teams so the production is less invasive? This way, they spread the coverage over four teams, so each team deals with HBO crew a bit less. Full disclosure, I've never watched Hard Knocks. Not my thing. Yeah, I guess. But I would doubt that's how the Hard Knocks, I mean, I think they would just put the normal camera crews with each team. Would be my uneducated guess. Like, I don't have the breakdown of how many camera crews go to a normal Hard Knocks. But I can't imagine that, like, okay, we'll just send, instead of sending four crews, let's just pick a team. The AFC South. We usually have four crews go, right? That last year with the Dolphins.
and now we'll just split up the four crews instead of having the four cameras there and the production, you know, the guy with the mic, we will have one crew at each team. I don't think it would be like that. Maybe instead of four each team, there'd be like three, but I'd be stunned if it was like that. Maybe I'm crazy. Last week, you discussed the inevitable downfall of the holiday card tradition. Unlike the other 99% of your takes on sports life, I have to disagree on this one. I feel like the holiday cards provide the personal connection amongst friends and family, often whom aren't seen in some time. I don't disagree with what the holiday card is, stands for, represents, and means when you open it to family, college buddies, high school friends, people, depending on how old you are, haven't seen in years. I'm in agreement there. And for some people, hasn't it always been about collecting the cards on your fridge for everyone to see during the holiday season? Just assuming most people would never even bother to print them out. Also, I've heard you mention Derek Ray. I too have known Derek from... Derek is the GM at Florida State. Any chance you get him on as a guest? Yeah, I got an idea about Florida State. My thing with holiday cards wasn't that they were going to disappear. I just think that the way of technology is... Every bill when I was a kid came to the house. Every single one. And my dad wrote checks. Same thing with the farm. Like, every bill came. Now everything is on the computer. So... my mom has this, my brother has this, we don't have one at this house, but I know a lot of you have that, are those like video kind of Amazon Alexa type things, Google Play, whatever, and they just rotate pictures. My mom has one that my sister-in-law just updates with the kids, and that's my idea where I think this is going to head eventually, is stuff like that. I think that's inevitable. I really do. Resident Browns fan here. After seeing the Russell Wilson deal go down, I have a lot of worries for what we end up with Watson. When is the cutoff to prove he's good player before Andrew Berry and Stefanski decide to cut him and fully rebuild the position? Would you be surprised if at all we took a developmental quarterback in this draft down the board? I'm a huge Jordan Travis fan, and I'd love to see us continue to take late-round quarterbacks and see if we strike gold on a long shot, like with Joe Milton or Sam Hartman. Yeah, I don't think that's a bad idea at all. You could argue sometimes when you have, I mean, Deshaun Watson's the highest cap hit in the league the next couple of years. So you're hitting on players at other positions is extremely important. And unlike Russell Wilson, he has a lot more guaranteed money coming to him because of the way the contract was set up. I think he has 2 years to prove his worth. Maybe a year and a half. But I think it's very, very difficult for you to get another quarterback. So I think these next 2 years, you're kind of just in the boat with this operation. Now, if this year got really ugly and he played really shitty and you were losing games, maybe it would only be a year. Now, I can't pretend to know the financial ramifications. But clearly, given the amount of money you gave him, highest contract in the history of the league, $230 million guaranteed, it would be really, really ugly on your salary cap. Now, the good thing for Barry and Stefanski, I think it's pretty clear that this was the owner. So it's one of those, it's not like those guys were pounding the table to do this. Deshaun Watson said he was out to the Browns. And they were like, see ya. And the owner's like, what do you need? And then Mulgeta, his agent, you know, bent Jimmy Haslam over a barrel. Rightfully so. He had all the leverage. And I just think that it's one of those. Now, a lot of super rich guys, I don't know that many billionaires, don't know one, but it's pretty clear they're not great at being like, oh, my bad, I fucked up. Usually they just point the finger. So would he point the finger at those guys? There was a rumor today that they're going to get extensions. That would be fascinating to watch, that if this Deshaun Watson thing really goes up in flames, which feels more likely than not, does the owner take responsibility and say, I led the charge on this, the contract was my idea? Or does he just say, those guys screwed up? Fired, his history would say that. It does feel like they've stabilized a little bit. And I think Barry and Stefanski clearly are pretty good. So that would be crazy to do that. But rich guys are crazy sometimes. And they don't want to have an egg on their face.
So what if you win 6 games this year and Deshaun just looks like an average player? They change the entire offensive staff. I don't know. I'm just not sure he's any good, to be honest with you.
The Volume.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.